Pastor Dave talked about the coming kingdom. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Begin reading at verse 20. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Ah, thank you very much. Good to see you there, Leroy. I like that bold yes there. Hallelujah. Having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is among you." If you look at the bottom, you got the NIV, it reads within you. At the bottom, it says among you. There is this dynamic that happens. That you there is plural. You habla ustedes. Okay? It is among you all. And he said to his disciples, "The time is coming where you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Don't go running after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this nation, this generation. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking and marrying and being given marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and then the flood came and destroyed them all." Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, people are getting married, Lord. People are carrying on like there's nothing going on. Lord, your word tells us that there's a whole lot that is going on. Lord, there's a whole lot that is coming towards us. And Lord, I am praying and anointing upon our time, Lord, that we would come to an understanding, a greater understanding of who you are and a greater understanding of your kingdom, Lord, and that you would be among us, guide us and direct us, Lord, that we won't buy a lie anymore. That you would walk among us, Lord, and we would be your people and that you would indeed be our God. We ask all that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, it was bowling night on Friday night, and Pastor Dave is indeed the reigning champion. Mike gave him a run. He had four strikes in a row, and then some college kid took his ball. I said, "Mike, come on, dude, grab that ball. You got the whole championship riding on this thing." "No, no, no, grab another ball," and threw a three, and Pastor Dave is again the reigning champion. Little round of applause. Yes, yes, yes. While we were bowling, second game, Enrique and let's see, who else was over there? A couple guys were over there, and they were bowling in the lane right next to us. And the balls come back, you know. And when you're bowling, the ball comes popping out. Man, that thing will just come flying out at you sometime. Well, what happened was is the thing was busted. And you know, it's like, "Hey, where's the ball, man?" And what it does is it comes popping out on this wheel, right? And we go tell the guys, "Hey, man, you know, we can't bowl, man. Everything's messed up." And they're coming there, you know, and they want to go look at the other end. I says, "No, it's right there. We can see the balls." And this guy pulls off this shroud, this thing right here, man, and alarms start going off and all that kind of stuff. And we're looking, "Hey, man, you got to fix this thing, man. We're looking for a little repair. We got to get back to our bowling." Well, the Pharisees, they were looking for a fix. They're saying, "Hey, where's this kingdom of God that you're talking about? We got all this drama going on around us." Jesus had been going around. He'd been healing people. He'd been healing lepers. Nobody healed lepers in the day. Pharisee says, "You got all this popularity. Where is the fix?" Some of you are here today. Hear about the kingdom of God. So, Pastor, well, I've been talking for 10 weeks, 12 weeks on the kingdom of God. Where is it? You've been talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Where is it? Have you looked around? It's tough out there. Jobs hard to find. People are starving out there. Man, we got Egypt, revolt. You got revolt in Tunisia. You got Albania. Bad stuff is going on. Where's the kingdom? Where's the fix? Today we're going to be talking about the coming kingdom. Not okay? I got your attention yet? Amen. All right, let's take a look. Number one, kingdom of God is big.
Kingdom of God is big. Once having been asked by those Pharisees when their kingdom of God would come, Jesus says, the kingdom does not come with your careful observation. People aren't going to say, here it is or there it is. Because the kingdom of God is within you. Where is the kingdom? Kingdom, Jesus says, is not something that you make. It is not something that you're just looking for and you see, oh, here it is. It's coming. It is something that's a little bit more complex than waiting for the bus. There it is. Hey, the kingdom is coming down the road. Hey, there it is. I see the kingdom. And what the Pharisees were trying to do, they wanted to see that kingdom come and they wanted to control it. And Jesus says the kingdom is bigger than that, guys. The kingdom is not something that you can control. The kingdom is bigger than you. And he says, in fact, the kingdom is already here. We have got pictures of the kingdom throughout the Bible. Kingdom of God has been defined as God's people in God's place. Under God's rule. God's people in God's place under God's rule. See, the kingdom of God in the Garden of Eden. God's people in God's place under God's rule. And they messed it up. See, pictures of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Israel where people were totally focused on the will of God and his purpose for their lives. See, God's people in God's place under God's rule. We see the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is among you. You come together and you put a focus on the kingdom of God. And it just rises up. This morning, we talk about the presence of God in worship. We hear God's word brought before us in prophetic utterance. We see a focus on him. We see God's people in God's place under God's rule. And what we see is the kingdom of God. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, where is this kingdom? And he says, you guys are missing it so much because here I am. I bring the kingdom. And he says, you're missing me. And it's like when you missed the bus. Oh, because when it passes you by, you'll become aware that it's gone. Amen? All right. Second point. There is a change that's coming. And Jesus, after he's talking to the Pharisees, he turns to his disciples and he says, guys, he says, there's going to be a day when you're going to long to see one of the days of the Son of Man. But he says, you're not going to see it. And he says that there is a bigger change that's coming. And you know, we want a big change. Amen? Amen. We're waiting for some stuff that is coming around the pike. And Jesus says that there is more on the way. And he calls them the days of the Son of Man. The days when the reign of God is reestablished on the earth. Let me read a verse to you. Revelation 21. There's only 22 chapters in Revelation. Amen? Yeah. We get to the end of this thing. It's looking good. And he says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, and now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his God. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And I'm telling you, see, that's what the Pharisees said. When's that going to happen? He says, hey, it's down the road, and you guys ain't even in line to get there. And he says to his disciples, he says, things are going to be tough. Things are going to be tougher than they are right now. And you are going to be waiting for me to come back. But you're not going to see that day. Pastor Dave said, God left his Holy Spirit with us. That he might empower us to go through the challenges of today. Could you use a little Holy Ghost power to get through the challenges in your life? Amen? See, that's what we wait on. That's what we look for. See, there is as time goes on, and with Jesus' death and resurrection, there is an ushering in of the kingdom of God, a greater revelation, a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God among us. Because I'll tell you what, there was never anything like the presence of the Holy Spirit, his guiding and the direction before Jesus was raised from the dead. When Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit descended upon the upper room of believers, 120 believers, there was a transformation in world history where now we can experience the presence of God. Guiding our thoughts, guiding our choices, helping us in that Bible class that's going to be so hard. Yes. Jesus saying, don't give up. I got some stuff for you to do. The closer that the kingdom gets, the worse off people are going to be. Closer the kingdom gets, the worse it's going to get. I got another verse I want to read for you. Jesus says, because they said, when's it going to happen? And he said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. You guys hearing about wars these days? He says, don't be alarmed. Such things are going to happen. Don't be surprised. My wife gets surprised. Listen to the news. Says, can you believe what's going on? I can believe it. I read about it. It's in the book. Amen? He says, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. There will be earthquakes in various places. He says it's going to get worse and worse and worse as the kingdom draws nearer and nearer and nearer. And Jesus says in all these ever-increasing challenges, you are going to be looking for just one of the days of the kingdom of man, kingdom of God. Friday night, I woke up about 3:30, and my back was killing me. I injured myself while bowling. Now, some could say that is pretty sad to be injured while bowling. But I pulled this muscle right here, right in the middle of my back. Oh. And I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. And I'm just like going, oh, I'm dying here. I can't get back to sleep. Ah, every time I turn and I say, I made it through the night. And I said, hey, Lisa, what you got? We got these hot pads, right? And she gives me these ThermaCare things, man. As Leroy says, junk. Man, I got this thing on my back, and these little things are air activated, start heating up on my back. You know, it's like, whoa, this is, there's like little nodules, man. They look like that, these hot little nodules. But they're doing nothing for me. And finally, after a couple hours of that, and I'm eating aspirin and stuff like that, I'm dying. Lisa goes, well, what about the aspirin cream? You know, it's like, okay, you know, it's like I want to just bathe in this stuff. You know what I mean? It's kind of like got aspirin in the cream, and it goes on your skin. But you know what? This stuff is a joke, man. I mean, they're junk. So you know, when you got pain like this, you need Bengay. Come on now. I mean, give me some of that old sticky, greasy stuff. Give me some of the absorbing junior. And then I remembered we had Icy Hot. Oh, yes. Folks, do not mistake this stuff. It is not underarm deodorant. If you use it like that, you will experience pain. But yeah, man, this stuff right there, you know, it's like, oh, I got the good old smell, that bubblegum smell. And what it was? I wanted some relief. And there was all this junk that I was buying. And it was not the real deal stuff. Amen? There's a change that's coming. And as it's coming, we're going to be looking for some relief. Amen. All right. Jesus says, make sure you get the real thing. Because there's all kinds of fakes out there. There's going to be all kinds of fakes. He says, men are going to tell you, there he is. It's Jesus. He's coming back. Says, don't go running after them because they're lying. They're lying to you. All kinds of counterfeits, all kinds of fakes, fake Christs, fake messiahs. Jesus says elsewhere, he says, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming I am he and the time is near. Don't follow them. Four chapters down the road, he's saying the same thing again. Don't get ripped off. Because there's some people out there that are going to be trying to deceive you. Paul writes to the Galatians, church in Galatia. He says that you guys are abandoning the gospel for a gospel that's not really even a gospel at all. So we have fake Jesuses, we got fake Christ, fake Messiahs, and fake gospels. There are lies out there that will get you off track. And why does it work? Because people are dying for relief. And people out there running around looking for this and looking for that and saying, I found something. Junk. But my wife bought this stuff. Or maybe we got it from Albertsons. I don't know. It don't work. It's sitting in our medicine cabinet thinking, use me, use me. It was a lie the whole time. Bible says that people will exchange the truth of God for a lie. Don't you be one of those people. You know, the Super Bowl coming out, they got sodas on special. And my son, you know, he doesn't have diabetes yet. And you got the full sugar, full carbonated Pepsi, you know. And he's like, yeah, give me that stuff. And then I went to the store the other day, and they had like 4 12-packs for 11, 10 bucks, something like that. And I got it, and I went, and I saw this. Pepsi throwback.
Oh, yeah.
Not junk. No. It says made with real sugar, right? See, so what you got is you got the real stuff, and then you got the fake. Right?
Yes.
That you've been buying all along. And I went over there and I saw the 12 pack sitting there, the throwback 12 pack with two of these on the top. And I thought, what's up with that, man? Did I get a partial case? He says, no, Joe and his buddy grabbed each one of these and they saw the throwback and said, no way. And they put these in there and took the real stuff. See, when you get the truth of God working in your life, you're going to be able to spot the lie. Amen? And Jesus says, don't you go running after the lie. You got to hold out for the truth. Because the truth is what's going to truly satisfy you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Second part here, B. He says, you're going to know the truth when you see it. You're going to know the truth when you see it. He says, the Son of Man, he's not coming in the desert. When I come back, it's not going to be in the swamp. It's not going to be in the desert. He says, I'm coming back like lightning in the sky. Every eye is going to see. He says, it'll be like the lightning which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. That's the way I'm coming back. And when you see that, you're going to know what you're seeing. Oh, all the rest was a lie. This is the real deal. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be a great display. Can I get a witness on that, folks? I'll tell you what, my back's messed up. Kathy's here. Kathy, look at Kathy, man. Got that wheelchair. Look at Belt is there. Got that wheelchair. Are you a little bit messed up today? Anybody a little bit messed up today? Anybody a lot messed up today? Look, I saw a cane. Michelle came in with a cane. That's new. She got vertigo working there. Check it out. When Jesus comes back, I'll tell you a mystery, Paul says. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Hallelujah. He says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And I tell you what, when that happens, folks, ain't nobody going to have a misunderstanding that Jesus has come back. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, we call this the rapture of the church. The rapture of Christians. All the Christians will leave one day. Continue reading in verse chapter 17. Jesus says, one will be left, one will be taken. And then, what happens is the tribulation. Time of great distress. Things will get really bad. The Holy Spirit who restrains evil will be taken up and evil will just run amok. The Antichrist will appear as a world leader and will become just seen by everybody and known by everybody. And for 3.5 years, the beginning of the tribulation time, he will be, they say Obama would become, or I don't know, I just use Obama because he's our president, but or George Bush, whoever, it doesn't matter, would just begin to get more and more popular and become this world figure, and people would just follow him. And at the end of this 3.5 year period, a couple things will happen. He'll deceive the Jews, and he will desecrate the altar at their temple, and then he will declare himself to be God. And what will happen then is the Jews will realize, oh, we got a loser here. And there's this war that's going to happen between God's people and the Antichrist. And that will extend 3.5 more years. And that is called the Great Tribulation. That's where you talk about the mark of the beast and all that kind of stuff. It'll be bad news. But guess what? Jesus is bigger than bad news. Amen? Now, if it's okay with you, I just want to read how it ends. Is that okay?
Yes.
It'll take a little bit. That's a chunk of scripture right here. But I'll tell you what. Pastor Dave, eyes tearing up. I'll tell you what, man. I get a little choked up when I read this stuff. John writes in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11, I saw heaven open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. Oh, can I get a little witness on that? Yeah. Can you imagine? Just picture this in your mind. A white horse with a rider whose name is Faithful and True, and his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. And he is dressed in a robe that is dipped in blood. Dipped in blood. Whose blood? His blood is his own. Because everybody else is following him is dressed in white linen. Hallelujah. Ain't no blood yet. He's coming down on a white horse. Everybody following him on white horses and in white linen. And he's the only one that has a flaw, which is blood. And it says, the armies of heaven were following him. I got to tell you this. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name was the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him on white horses dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with an iron scepter and treads out the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has written a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, is that some good stuff? Amen? Can I read to you a little bit more? Is that okay? All right. He says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, of generals, and of mighty men, and of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, hallelujah, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And the two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Can I read you 4 more verses?
Yes.
And I saw an angel coming out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. And Jesus says, guys, there'll be days
when you long to see one day the kingdom revealed, when evil will be dealt with.
Amen.
And we will follow the rider on a white horse. Whoo!
Awesome.
All right. But not everybody's looking for that. Some people today just getting ready for the Super Bowl. You know what? They got NBA games on today. You know, it's like, oh, hey, time to shift over. No more football. We'll just be watching the NBA and doing all kinds of stuff. Not everybody's looking for change. Jesus says, all this stuff, right? This is what's going to come. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will be also in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. Change is going to come as a surprise to many. Not many people are waiting for it. Jesus says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to the kingdom. And there's just a couple people, just a few people that are on it. And all those people on the wide way, they're just going to be carrying on like normal. Not even looking for a change. In fact, people get used to normal. But the real problem is that normal is bad. My wife says, can you believe how destructive our culture is? Normal is bad. Can I get a witness on that? In the days of Noah, normal was bad. Bible says, the Lord saw, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness had become. And that every, think about this, that every inclination of his thoughts was only evil. All the time. Normal was bad. Jesus goes on to talk about the sin of Sodom in Lot's time. Let's go back to talk to Lot. Take a look at Lot. The Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous. Sent angels in there. And the people were so lost they wanted to attack the angels themselves. See, we get used to normal. And normal is bad. Jesus tells us that deception is a problem. These people have been lied to and they have bought the lie. There's actually two lies that we believe in our culture today that would undermine us. One, people believe that there is no judgment. Nothing is coming at me. I don't have to worry about it. Do whatever you want. The other lie that you can believe, that there's really no such thing as sin. Either one of those will get you into trouble, folks. There is no judgment. Do whatever you want, or whatever you're doing is just fine. Jesus says, watch out. Don't be deceived, because the game we're playing is a game for keeps. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. He says destruction is coming. Got to keep on moving forward. Got to keep on moving forward. We'll end with this. Remember Lot's wife. Don't hear about Lot's wife, because she didn't make it out. Lot's wife was heading out of Sodom, Gomorrah, whichever one they were living in. They both got destroyed. Bible said, angels told her, don't look back now. And she was leaving, she looked back, and she got turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And you say, why would she look back? I mean, she had her husband, her daughters there. She was leaving, but she had stuff back in the city. Oh, I got my stuff back there. Whoa, boom, salt. I got some people, I got some friends back there. Poof, salt. I got some relationships. I don't want to give them up.
And Jesus tells us, on your way to freedom, don't you look back. Because I know you got stuff back there. Every one of us has got a tug from the world back there, the stuff we used to have. Don't look back. Got to keep on moving ahead. And it's going to be challenging. Them six people up here, plus Katie. Is Katie ever show? Got other stuff going on today. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Reading, studying, doing all that stuff. Jesus said, I never said it was going to be easy. In fact, this is what he says. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever plowed. I've driven a tractor. I cannot imagine using a horse or something on that. It's tough work. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Jesus makes us an offer. In contrast to the lie of the world, in contrast to the lie of the enemy, Jesus makes us a promise. Promise of a new life, a different life, to move into the kingdom of God, God's people in God's place under God's rule. Kingdom of God. He says, I'm going to offer you an exchange. He says, nobody who tries to keep his old life is going to win. He says, I'll make an exchange. I'll offer you the new life, but you got to give me your old life. There's no way that you can manage both. You will either serve one or serve the other, and I want your undivided attention. Amen?
Amen.
And some of us are just not willing to give up the old stuff.
Amen.
What we want to do is add God into our picture. And here's the problem. You can't add God into the lie. There's not enough room for God in your lie. Into the lie that you have bought, the deceit of the enemy, God won't fit in there. And so I would just say, God, just fix this up so I can keep this picture. God says, I don't do that. Anybody wants to save his life, you'll lose it. But he who loses his life for me and for the gospel, he'll get new life. Amen? Does that make sense? You know, that guy came to fix that bowling thing. And he's looking at it, and he is not looking fully trained. So I'm like, wow, man, this is so messed up, I've never even seen one of these before. You know what he said? He said, I can't fix this. But I'm going to set you up on a new lane. New games. New scores. And the guys that were ahead were not so happy. And the guys that were behind were going, woohoo! Yes! A new start! New lane, new game, new score. See, that's what Jesus offers you today. New lane, new game, new score. But he says the only way you get on the new lane is you got to leave the old lane behind. What's tugging on you today? How much of that old life is pulling you back? And how much do you want the promise? Lisa, you want to come up here and sing for a minute? Because some of you right now are going, oh, new lane, new game, new score. I got to leave the old lane, the old game, and the old score behind. I get it now. Let me turn that off, please. The elements that we had for communion, the cup and the bread, that is display. New lane, new game, new score. See, so many of you are just fine with this. So I'm talking about life here, folks. Mm-hmm. The Lord's saying, hey,
I got a real deal for you. You got to pick one. Which one do you want?
Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Many of us with both hands full, Lord. We got a promise in one, we got a lie in the other, and we don't know what to let go of. And Lord, I'm praying by your Holy Spirit to move upon this place, Lord. The choices be made this morning, Lord. Eternal choices. I got to make a change. I am longing for the days of man, but Lord, I got to step out onto your kingdom, Lord. I can't fit you in my lie. So I'm going to leave the lie. And I'm going to grab onto your promise. And I'm going to grab onto your truth. And no one's looking around right now. If you know the Lord and says, you just pray with me. If you don't know the Lord, you're grabbing onto the lie. If you have yet to surrender your life to the Lord right now, the Lord is speaking to your heart. That conviction, that uncomfort, the discomfort that is upon you right now, that is the Lord saying, my child, I have more for you than what you are accustomed to. I got a new life, a new opportunity for you. You got to let go of the old. And no one's looking around right now, but the Lord is just speaking right to you. Time to make a change. Time to let go and grab on. Let go of the old, grab on to me. Right now, the Lord is saying, this is for you, my child. And no one's looking around, but you are freaking out because you're not accustomed to this. And right now, the help of the Holy Spirit, you would just say, here I am, Lord. I am letting go, and I'm going to grab on to you, Lord. I'm going to let go of my old life. Lord, I'm going to follow you with all that I have and all that I am, Lord. No holding back. You are my king. You will be my fullness. I'm not going to look back anymore. I'm grabbing on to you. No one is looking around right now, but the Lord is just all on your heart right now, and he is just saying, follow me, my child. I just want you to just raise your hand up and say, that's me this morning, right back here and here. Somebody will say, that's me here, there, hallelujah. Oh, over here, yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Your hand's already up, you can put it down. Your hand's up, you can put it down, guys, in the back there, yes. One more shot. You didn't put your hand up. The Lord is all over you right now. And he's saying, you, my child, need to let go of that lie and grab on to me. You did not put your hand up before. The Lord is on you right now saying, this is for you, child. Just slip your hand up. Over here, here, back there,
yes, Lord.
There. Anybody else over here? Anybody else? Lord Jesus, you are mighty and you are awesome. Lord, these people, Lord, that are going to lay it down. We're gonna sing in just a minute. I'm going to have Martin and I'm going to have Gail come up here and Ramiro come up here with and help me. But I want you to just come up. You put your hand up, and there's many people who put their hands up. I want you to just come. We want to pray with you, and I just want you to come as we sing and just begin to lay that lie down at the altar. We want to pray with you, the prayer of faith, and the Lord will meet you up here. Hallelujah.